الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our actual subject, just a few reminders. One is to increase our Durood Sharif on the day of Jumu'ah. There are great, great virtues of Durood Sharif, and for the day of Jumu'ah particularly, even more greater. So we should try and read as much Durood Sharif as possible. For Jumu'ah, if we can increase it to 300, or even better than that, 313 times. In one hadith sharif it comes, a person who reads 100 times a day Durood Sharif, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala himself writes on the forehead of that person, Bara'atu minan nar, Bara'atu minan nifaq, that this person is free from nifaq, hypocrisy, and is free from the fire of Jahannam also. So, and to read 100 times Durood Sharif, it takes comfortably to read Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about 2 minutes only it takes. And in a day there are so many minutes, just 2 minutes to take out for Durood Sharif. In one hadith sharif it comes, a person who reads 100 times Durood Sharif, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala fulfills 100 needs of that person, 70 of the akhirat and 30 of this dunya. So we see from there also, akhirat is more important. That is mentioned first also, and the number also is more greater, 70. And then 30, roughly two-thirds, one-third of dunya's needs also Allah Ta'ala will fulfill. So Allah give us tawfiq of reading Durood Sharif in abundance. Another thing just to mention, very important, is the sunnat method of relieving oneself when we go to the toilet, and very, very fast, if not already it has vanished, it's vanishing very fast, and that is to choose the squatting position. And that is for those who can manage. If a person has problems, knee problems, back problems, it's a different thing. But if without reason, just for the environment, that's how society is doing things, to use the high pan is not correct. We should use the flat pan when of necessity, because our health is doesn't permit us, then it is all right. And it is vanishing so fast that today little children are potty trained also on the high pan. And they, when they grow up, they don't know what is the flat pan. And without any reason, they just use the high pan. And it's very, very unhygienic also. A lot of health hazards also with regard to using the high pan. So we should try and avoid that totally. For those who cannot, it's a different thing. But we should have that guilty conscience still. That still we should prefer that I had to, if I could use the flat pen. On one occasion, Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahab, Rahmatullah Alim, was giving a talk to the ulama in the Raiwind Ijtima. And in there he said, today still we should cherish that we could be traveling on camels. Though today it won't be practical, we won't travel by camel. We'll travel by vehicles, buses, planes, etc. But still in our hearts we should cherish that. Let it not vanish completely. If for any reason we cannot do it, that we still feel guilty, that to have that love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his way of life. It can be the Sputnik age, it can be the age of technology, whatever it can be. But to a mu'min, we should still have that. If for a necessity we have to choose another mode in whichever way, But still, we should have that love. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah, to read Durood Sharif as much as possible, and the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to try and bring them alive in our lives, inshallah. And that what we cannot do, unfortunately we cannot. But there are still plenty, plenty sunnahs that we can practice on. For example, the miswak sunnah, that we all can practice upon that sunnah. How many of us really are practicing on the sunnah of the miswak? So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to try and make amal on all the sunnahs, inshallah. The ayat-e-kareema I've recited. In the ayat-e-kareema, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is addressing the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Those who have got iman. Indeed, they are the people who will pay attention, who will take heed. People who the kuffar are heedless. They don't pay attention to anything. So those who have got iman, they will pay heed. Qu anfusakum. Protect, safeguard yourself. First, you give yourself. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. And your families also. Nara. Save them from the fire. Which fire? The fire of Jahannam. Of course, that fire is not here in this world. It is in the Akhirah. But here we have commanded to save ourselves from the fire. That is those amal, those actions that will take us to the fire of Jahannam. Save ourselves first, and make sure we save our families also. Like, for example, if there has to be an actual fire of this dunya, which is, in comparison to Akhirat, a very small fire, we protect ourselves. May Allah protect us all. If a fire is to break out in the house, we will save ourselves. We'll save our family. We'll do everything. Much more than that. We should save them from the fire of Jahannam. That fire, sometimes we see a fire of this world burning. Coal stoves are very rare now. But we see by the side of the road sometimes, especially in winter, there's a fire. The flames go up not even to 1 meter. At the most, perhaps to 1 meter. In this world, when the Namrud, the notorious king, who had Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam catapulted and thrown into the fire. That fire, they lit for 40 days, they lit it. It is said that fire was so huge, the flames used to go so high, that a bird could, if a bird had to fly over, it would get roasted. So what a fire. That fire we don't even see. So anyway, so yeah, that fire, those amal, like the fire of this world, we protect ourselves. We'll definitely protect ourselves. We'll run from the fire, try and extinguish it, try and get the fire brigade. Whatever what we can do, we will do. Save our family also. Much more than that, we have to be concerned of the fire of Jahannam, which is much more severe also. That fire of Jahannam in this world are those amal, kufr, shirk, etc., all the wrong things that lead to the fire. From those things, we have to save ourselves first, our children also. We have to save ourselves also from that fire. And finally, there is nobody that is going to live forever. And there is no other way. There is only the one way that we will go into the Akhirat. And average lifespan of a person, 60, 70 years. That's the average lifespan. After that, we have got no choice whatsoever. In fact, when the mayyit, and may Allah make us all righteous and pious people, and we give our maut on iman, then that person who has a successful life and a successful death, he says, qaddimuni, qaddimuni, take me quickly towards the enjoyment which is there. And if he, unfortunately, may Allah protect us all. If it's a person of the opposite side, then he asks, where are you taking me to? He doesn't want to go, but he is forced. Like Allah Ta'ala protect us all. If we get some VIP treatment and somebody comes and takes us with a limousine to wherever we have to go, receives us at the airport with the limousine or anywhere else, we look forward to that. But if we have to be put in a police van at the back with the police dogs also there, nobody wants to go in that way. Much, much more better than a limousine is going to Allah Ta'ala. That is if we live that way. And much more worse is than a police van sitting at the back with the police dogs and going to the to a cell, to a jail. That will be much, but the akhirat will be much more worse. So that Allah Ta'ala warns us, Qoo anfusakum, save yourself from that akhirat. That is the main thing. And those amal that take towards that. So there are many things in that. For the most important, of course, are our aqaid, our beliefs must be correct. And really, if we think of it, who of us really pays attention to whether my beliefs are correct or not? We very seldom we think of it. We don't think of it. Today, for us to become pious, normally, it's only namaz. If we're making our namaz, we feel we are all right. But namaz is one part. Beliefs are the first most important things. A person's beliefs, his ibadat, his aqaid must be correct. That is the most important. One occasion we met one old man, and he asked a question out of sincerity, innocence, and honesty. He asked, he said that, are there two gods in the world? One god of good and one god of evil. In other words, this was playing in his mind, there is a god, Allah, that calls us to good, towards righteousness. And in his mind was that Shaitan is another god. And there is one creed, one group in of Muslims who believe in two gods. One god of good and god of evil, which is totally wrong. Shaitan is no god whatsoever. He has got no power of his own. Allah Ta'ala, only what Allah permits him to do. In fact, on one occasion, when the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, complained to Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of evil thoughts, wasawis, evil whispers that come into a person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the solution and started the solution with Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. And then said that all praise is due to Allah, that Allah limited the evil whisperings of Shaitan only to whisperings. Like for example, as we are sitting here now in the masjid, and we get, Shaitan hasn't got the power to lift us up now and take us to a brothel, take us to a gambling den, take us to any other evil place. He hasn't. The most he can do is put that thought in your mind. Allah limited it to that. It's only to that thought that he can do. Then it's up to us. That thought that came, an evil thought, and then we have been given the solution. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And reading it sincerely, it's very, very powerful. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is a remedy for 99 illnesses, ailments, spiritual. Is from the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Not only from Jannat, but the highest point of Jannat is the arsh, which is the roof, the ceiling of Jannat. La ilaha illallah is from there. In one narration, it is it saves a person from poverty. In another narration, from worry and gham and worry, it saves it. And how many others? So we have been given a'udhu bi kalimati llahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. So anyway, all that. So we have to save ourselves from all Shaitan's whisperings also, from his evil inspirations that he tries to make. And he is limited only to that. So beliefs are the most important. Our aqaid, our beliefs are be correct. And in that, let us think that who of us thinks whether my beliefs, like this old man asked this question, And then we tried to explain to him. May Allah make that we could have explained correctly. So anyway, after that comes the second thing, which are ibadat, all the different ibadat. And in ibadat is not only namaz. Namaz is one of the five pillars of Islam. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and the first la ilaha illallah. So namaz is one column, one pillar. There are many more. And in ibadat is not only namaz. There is tilawat of Quran. There is zikrullah. There is dua. Many, many things. But we normally focus on namaz. If we ask somebody, how is that person, that he is a namazi? He makes five times namaz. And a person who makes five times namaz, normally by us, we will regard him as a very righteous and pious person. But that's only one part of our deen. We have to see that the whole of deen, our aqaid come correct. And then our ibadat, all our ibadat comes correct. Then muamalat, our business dealings must be correct. That is very, very important. And there is a lot of detail. And ulama have written so many kitabs and are writing kitabs on muamalat, business dealings, that how they must be correct. But normally today, a pious person also does not regard muamalat as part of our deen. Our deen, al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Deen has been completed. Every aspect, there is absolutely no need for a Muslim to look outside for any need. Everything is in deen. And after that, after muamalat, is muasharat, our social life. How to deal with people on a social level, whether it's immediately the spouse, husband, wife, children, neighbors, family, all, everything socially. And then akhlaq, character, that we shouldn't have pride in us, no anger in us, no greed in us, all those things. And we don't think of remedying whether I've got pride in me or not. What is pride according to Sharia? The most, if we think of it, we think of it according to the Western concept. And we'll take a dictionary to look up the meaning. But what is the Shari'i pride? And while we are on there, just to mention that there are two types of pride according to Sharia. One is to think yourself better than somebody else. That is totally haram to think. We should think of ourselves as, not think, we should be convinced I am the worst in Allah's creation. More than everyone else, I am the worst. The second is that though we don't think of anyone as bad, just to think yourself as good, which is called ujub. Just to think that I'm good, that is also pride. And that is also haram. A person cannot think of himself as good. That you don't think of anyone as bad, but you think yourself as good. That is ujub. That is also haram. So all these things, akhlaq, is very, very important. Anyway, with regard to the one bab, where, with regard to qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, and which we regard as the main thing of deen, namaz. So with regard to our children, for example, for ourselves also, and our children, and it is everyone's duty also to protect all from the fire of Jahannam. With regard to namaz, non-performance of namaz is a thing that will lead a person to Jahannam. If we, the first thing to reckon, to be reckoned for will be namaz. If namaz comes out right, salat, everything else will come out right. But if namaz is a, there is a deficiency, everything else also. And our namaz, all of us sitting here, inshallah, now we read some two rakats of nafal namaz, whatever we have read, we will be reading our faraz. Yeah, outward the namaz, alhamdulillah, we who are here, we are making. But there are so many people today on a Jumu'ah who are not here for Jumu'ah also, and they, that is serious also. And those of us who are here, what is our concentration level? Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, Aqimi Salah, not just make namaz, Fasalli li Rabbi. This perhaps has come only one place in the Quran Sharif that make namaz. But otherwise, everywhere, Aqimi Salah, Aqimu Salah, Iqamati Salah, and that is namaz with all its requirements must be made. All the requirements, our dressing must be correct, the time must be correct, facing the Qibla must be correct, especially wherever we are traveling also, ascertain. We make sure our wudu, our taharat is correct. All these things have to be. And all after doing all that, aqim is salah, the purpose of it is li dhikri, solely and only for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. But in our namaz, how much do we remember Allah? Our namaz is like it is exclusive for non-remembrance of Allah. From the beginning, Allahu Akbar, tell Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How much do we really think? We are many times overwhelmed with some thought or something, and the whole namaz is in that thought. And we didn't even think about Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Just to give us an idea, on one occasion, in Jamaat namaz, Asr namaz, after the namaz, there was a dispute in the Musallis whether the Imam made 3 rakats or 4 rakats of namaz. And they were arguing. Some said 3, some said 4. One person who outwardly did not look like a really religious, pious person, he was adamant it was only 3 rakats. So they were surprised that a person who outwardly, he doesn't appear to be a pious person, but he is convinced that it was only 3. They asked him how. He says, in every rakat, every day, I've got 4 shops, and I make the hisab, the income, expense of each shop, more or less, in each rakat I made. Today I only finished 3 shops. And the 4th shop, so definitely the imam only made 3 rakat. So that is how our concentration is. So we have to think of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So our namaz. Namaz, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that by the age of 7, command your children to perform namaz. Now think for me, myself, whether I was commanded or whether I started reading at the age of 7. And our children, do we command them? Today, the sports is more important, the schooling is more important. One Arab Jamaat came and they gave an example. They say that we hardly see children in the masjid. And they must be trained. They don't come to the masjid and make a nuisance for them of themselves, and they don't disturb the other musallis also. They must be like responsible already. That training, today we feel that child, a teenager also, is not responsible. And we don't regard him. Western law, by till the age of 18, don't really regard a person as responsible. He's still a child. A child, whereas in Islam we see that much younger than that, how the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala, little children, they wanted to go for jihad. How at the age of 17, this son-in-law of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, Muhammad ibn Qasim, how he led in a Muslim army at the age of 17. So today, anyway, we regard that because of the Western influence and living in a Western society, we also feel it's not important. Whereas our teaching, if we have, if we honored the hadith, then by the age of 7, the child must be commanded with namaz. And beat him, that is, within the limits. By the age of 10, if he does not make namaz, ask if I made namaz by the age of 10. Or if today my children, whether I command them and make sure that they make namaz by the age of 7, by the age of 10, that you beat them. And namaz, normally we take it, becomes farz when we are baligh, and that is the age of 15. But the fuqaha have written, if the signs of maturity are before that, then by the age of 12, a person is already responsible for his namaz. So who of us really, now think for my, in a little bit my past history, that from the age of 12 was I making my namazes or not? And if the signs of maturity were there, then namaz was faras on me. And if I was not making, I'm to do the qadai umri of those namazes, which is extremely, that is qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, so ourselves also. And as I explained, namaz is just one part of our vast deen. For the whole of deen to come in our lives, to have an Islamic will is such an important thing. Who of us really have got an Islamic will made up? But today, generally, if we make, we go to the lawyers, they make up a will for us. And in most cases, that will is not worth the paper it's written on. It's anti-Islamic almost totally. And if we have to die without a will, and the people are distributing our inheritance, first of all, if they will distribute it, if they distribute it, whether they will do it Islamically. Otherwise, I will be questioned and punished that your will is going against the laws of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Your estate is being distributed against the will and the command of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So anyway, with regard to namaz particularly, we must think that how much are we respond, how my namazes, my qadai umri, and see that am I making those namazes, and these sins and gunas by becoming old or we forgetting them doesn't mean they are forgiven by Allah Ta'ala. We are responsible for it. If we have got a debt with somebody and years have passed and that person doesn't speak about it, we don't speak about it, but it's not forgiven. Unless, of course, it was actually forgiven. Otherwise, that death remains. So we are responsible for all this. So particularly, deen is very vast, but especially in namaz itself, let us try and become conscious, to try and see that my namazes, I make my qadai umri. And now, the namazes I'm making, they become life namazes, not dead, like a machine namaz. You just press a button, Allahu Akbar. And the next you become conscious is when you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How many of us perhaps, with that time comes when we are in doubt, which namaz did I make? Did I make my two sunnahs after Zahar? Or did I make my two nafils? Which namaz was I making? Or any other, after Isha, which namaz am I making? Am I busy making my sunnah? Or am I busy making my witr? Sometimes we are in ghaflat about. So we have to be conscious about our namaz, about our whole deen. And each one of us in this ayat, we have been made responsible. First and foremost for ourselves and then for our families also. And Allah said, Ahlikum, not only the children, the wife also, we are responsible. If she perhaps, she wasn't in the habit of namaz, but now we have to work towards it. And one great effective way is the ta'aleem of fazail-e-a'mal. If we have that regularly in our homes, inshallah, namaz will become alive. And when namaz becomes alive, and the quality of namaz to whatever level it is, then deen will become alive. When deen will be there, our dunya will be also according to deen. And then our akhirat will also be made. Namaz is the key to paradise, key to jannat, key to our success in everything. It's a very, very important aspect. But unfortunately, many people don't make namaz at all. Many of us, we make namaz, but it's just an exercise. And the rewards which are promised are not on an exercise. It is on namaz. Roza, fasting. One is that roza is an ibadat, and one is roza we take it as a hunger, just to stay hungry. For dieting, we don't eat, so we rather keep roza. So, but that is just dieting or going on a hunger strike. Roza itself, which is a shar'i thing, that is completely different. May Allah give us all tawfiq that we become conscious of the sunnah. become conscious of Durood Sharif and this ayat, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. May Allah give us all tawfiq.